You're going to need to turn in your Bible again to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. And when you've found Ruth chapter 2 on page 267, now as I read, I want you to do something, okay? This is going to be uncomfortable for some of us, all right? When you hear the word, the name, Boaz, I want you to cheer, okay? When I read God's word, when I read the Bible, and you hear the word Boaz, or the name Boaz, I want you to, can we do that? Is that just going to make us a little bit of, okay, can we try, is that all right? Yeah? Okay, so when I say Boaz, great, excellent, fantastic. Okay, Ruth chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered the field, and began to glean behind the harvester. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi." She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I've told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He's not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He's one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Amen. This is God's word to us. Now, adults, please have your Bibles open at Ruth chapter 2. Boys and girls, if you face the front, everything that you need to see will be up here. Oh, I need a volunteer. Emmanuel, yeah? Come on. Come help me out. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you a box of stuff. Okay? Come on, stand over here. All right? And in my box, how about this? You can have some sweets. Okay? You can have some balloons. How about that? You can have some stickers. Here's what I'll do. I'll put one on you. Okay? But that's not all. Okay? Ooh, where's... Oh, you can have my phone. Would you like that? It's not a very good one. But you can have that. Oh, this will be good. Would you like my wallet? I tell you what, it's even got some money in it. Okay, there you go. You can have that. All right, you can have my watch. It's not very expensive. Do you want my shoes? No, it's fine. It's okay. What else have I got? Here's my pen.
Well, you have your shirt.
I'm not... He's getting the idea, isn't he? You can have my wedding ring. Okay, there you go. Okay, I tell you what. Oh, where are they? Where are they? Would you like my car as well?
Yeah,
there you go. There's my car keys. Now, if someone came up and gave you a box with your best stuff in it, how does that make you feel?
Just unexpected.
Unexpected, yeah, brilliant. Right, you can go and have a seat, Emmanuel. Thanks very much. You're not getting that, okay? you get the idea. How would you feel? It would feel brilliant to get a box of someone's best stuff. At harvest time, we've been thinking a little bit about that this morning. Actually, what we remember is God's kindness to us year after year. It's as if God comes up to us with a box every year of his best stuff and says, here, I want you to have this. I want you to enjoy this. And it's right that we say thank you for it. Now, this morning, I want to tell you a true story that happened in the Bible. And it happened, I don't know if you saw this, it happened at harvest time. And it shows us lots about kindness. Actually, it shows us lots about the kindness of the Lord Jesus. Even though he's not directly spoken about in the story, but it tells us lots about the kindness of Jesus. And I'm going to introduce you to some people mentioned in the story. Here's the first person. Okay, I'll put her over here. Naomi. Naomi was very, very sad. Her husband had died. And her two sons had died as well. So she was very sad and bitter, the Bible says. And she would have been all alone except for one of her son's wives. And she was called Ruth. Oh, we've got a Ruth here this morning. Ah, hello, Ruth. It's not that Ruth. This is another Ruth, okay? Ruth helped to look after Naomi, especially when she was very sad. And Ruth and Naomi came to live in a town called Bethlehem. Now, can anyone think of any other stories in the Bible that happened at Bethlehem? Does anyone know of anyone who was born at Bethlehem? Yes. Jesus, brilliant, Josh. That's a way, way, way in the future. You can put your hand down, Emmanuel. It's okay. Brilliant. I know you know that story as well. That's a way, 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 hundreds of years in the future. This happens long before that. Ruth and Naomi have come to live in Bethlehem. Now remember, Naomi's husband has died. Her sons are dead. Ruth's husband, they've got no one to help them. They're in a very dangerous position. They're probably quite poor. And in those days, if they wanted to eat, what they had to do was that they had to wait. They had to go into a field at harvest time and wait for the harvesters to go over the field. And if there was anything left over, then they could go and pick it and have some food to eat. Now, there's someone else I've got to introduce you to. I'll just take Naomi off for a moment. I asked you to cheer when I said his name. I'm not going to ask you to cheer when I say his name because I'm just going to say it too much, okay? But here he is. It's Boaz, okay? Boaz, okay. There's always one or two, isn't there? Okay. Okay. Now, it turns out that Boaz was related to Naomi. He wasn't her brother or anything like that. It was like a cousin of a cousin of a cousin of a cousin. They were related in some way. What Ruth and Naomi don't know yet is that Boaz is going to play a brilliant part in the story. Boaz is what the Bible calls a redeemer. He is a redeemer. Boaz is a redeemer. Let's say that together. Boaz is a redeemer. On three. One, two, three. Boaz is a redeemer. That's a weird word. It's maybe not a word that you've heard before, but it's going to play a big part in the story. A redeemer is someone, now there's lots of definitions in the Bible, but here's one. A redeemer is someone who brings help. Someone who comes and helps us when we're in great need. Naomi and Ruth need help. Their husband are dead. They've got no one to help them and look after them. In that time and place, all the people who would have helped to look after them, well, they're gone. They need help. And Boaz, the redeemer, is going to bring help. You know, the first thing that Ruth finds out about Boaz, the redeemer who brings help, is that he's really kind. How do I know that? Well, let me tell you some of the story if you look at it. It's harvest time around Bethlehem. So Ruth decides that one day she's going to go out into the fields, in verse 2, and pick up the leftover grain. She's going to wait for the harvesters to go. She's going to pick up whatever's left. Whose field do you think that she goes to? Boaz's field. Yeah. Now, some of the farmers might not have been very happy with people they didn't know going into their fields after the harvesters had been in and picking up the leftover grain. But Boaz doesn't mind. Ruth doesn't know yet that Boaz is going to be a redeemer. But already, she's seeing that this guy, Boaz, is really kind. And now, there's another way that the Bible describes Boaz, I think. And it's this. He loves God. It's really important that redeemers love God. How do I know this? Well, if you look at verse 4, we're told that when Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, he says, "The Lord be with you." And they say back to him, "The Lord bless you." Now, we're going to try that this morning, okay, as a new greeting. I'm going to bring it back from, I don't know, kind of 3,000 years ago or however long it is. But, okay, so when I say, "The Lord be with you," you reply back, "The Lord bless you." Right, we're going to try it. One, two, three. "The Lord be with you."
"The Lord bless you."
Nice. We'll try it again. "The Lord be with you." Okay, this side of the room, you're going to say, "The Lord be with you." To that side of the room, they're going to say, "The Lord bless you" back. Okay, this side of the room, ready? One, two, three.
"The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you."
Okay, this side of the room, we're going to have to do a bit better. All right, when you're going to shout over to this side of the room, "The Lord be with you." And they're going to say back, "The Lord bless you." One, two, three.
"The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you."
They're still edging it that side of the room. Okay, now, you're going to say it to me now. All right, everyone, if you say, "The Lord bless you," and I'll say back to you. No, you say to me, yeah, you get the idea. Okay, okay. Who knows? I'm just kidding. Okay. Right, on three. One, two, three.
"The Lord
bless you." "The Lord bless you." Now, here's what I think is happening there. We're being shown that Boaz is a man who loves God, I think, and takes his relationship with God really seriously. Boaz then says in verse 5, to one of his men, "Who's that lady over there? I don't recognize her." And what his man says to him, that's Ruth. She's the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. And he says to her, "Come and work in my fields." And actually what you find is that Boaz, the brilliant redeemer, starts to protect Ruth. He says, "Come and work in my fields. Stay with the other ladies. No one's going to harm you. Are you thirsty? We've got a spare water bottle you can drink from." And Ruth asks Boaz, "What have I done to to deserve this. We're told in verse 10, she bowed down with her face to the ground. What have I done to deserve this? And Boaz says, it's not about that. I've heard, and it's pleased me, that you've looked after your mother-in-law, Naomi. And you've come back and lived among God's people, even when you didn't need to. And then he says something strange at the end of verse 12. He says, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Sometimes we go to Grovelands Park. Some of you might know Grovelands Park. There's a bit next to the lake where all sorts of ducks and geese and stuff come out, and you can feed them. Me and my boys like to do that. Okay, this is not a real likeness, but you get the idea. If you get too close, what happens if you get too close to the little gosling? Jamie, what happens? Yeah, the big geese come and they go, and the little geese come and take protection under their mum's wings. And Boaz says about Ruth, as she's come to live among God's people, actually, she's chosen to put her trust in God. And like one of those little geese, she's taken protection under the God of the Bible. And that is the best place to be close to God. But that's not all that happens. Because then we're told that Boaz the Redeemer actually brings lots of comfort to Ruth by giving her help. And by letting her work in his fields, Ruth actually stops being so sad about her situation. Actually, life starts to get a bit better. And she didn't deserve any of Boaz's kindness, but it helps her a lot. And then Boaz speaks really kind words to Ruth. He says, come and have lunch with me at verse 14. And he gives her part of his packed lunch. He shares it with her. And the amazing thing is that even though Ruth was an outsider, Boaz had never met her. He welcomed her and sat with her and spoke to her and treated her really, really well. And Boaz had provided for all of Ruth's needs. You know, we're told at the end of the day that all the barley that Ruth had managed to pick up that day, well, it was something like 8 bags of flour she could have made from it. She would have a wheelbarrow to take it home that night. And as she sat and made bread out of the flour that night, even though she had never met Boaz before that day, what do we see? That the Redeemer had shown great kindness, had met Ruth and Naomi's needs. Do you think their bread tasted good that night? I bet it did. And they ate as they ate their bread at mealtime that night, they were actually tasting the Redeemer's kindness. I wonder, actually we know, how Naomi and Ruth felt. At the end of the day, they thank God for Boaz's kindness to them. Look at verse 20. Naomi says, the Lord bless him. He's not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. They gave thanks to God for Boaz's kindness towards them. Something really important that I need to tell you this morning. Boaz was Ruth's redeemer, and he's a brilliant Redeemer. But I want to tell you about another Redeemer. A Redeemer that Boaz actually points us towards. Someone else who was from Bethlehem. Who was that, Josh? Jesus. Yeah. And the amazing thing is that as you go through the story of the Bible, well, I'm giving a little bit of the story away, but Boaz and Ruth would eventually get married. Okay? Yeah, they would. It's amazing. Yeah. And they would have children. And their children would have children. And their children would have children. And their children. And you go all the way down. until one day a baby's born at Bethlehem into that family, into the Redeemer's family. And the New Testament calls the Lord Jesus the Redeemer of his people. Now, why do we need a Redeemer? Because it might be that as we look at this story, well, we don't need the sort of help that Ruth and Naomi needed, but we need help for something else. We need help because of our sin, the Bible says. When I don't do what God says I should do, when I do the things that God says I shouldn't. When I was young and you went to the park, sometimes they would paint the park benches and they would sometimes leave a little sign, wet paint, don't touch. What's the thing that almost everyone did? They touched it, didn't they? Yeah, yeah. Or sat on it if they weren't looking. Why? We like to think that we're in charge, that we know best. And when God says to us, I want you to live my way, here's how I want you to live. We see a wet paint sign, and we do the opposite of what God says so often. And the Bible says that because of my sin, I deserve God's punishment. I'm in big trouble. I deserve to be punished in hell for eternity, the Bible says. I need help. I need a Redeemer. And boys and girls, our Redeemer is not Boaz or Ruth. Our Redeemer is the Lord Jesus. That's who all of us need as our Redeemer. He's the one who brings help. He's the one who's come from heaven. And he came and he walked around. And the Bible showed him to be perfect. He never sinned. He always did what his father said. He never touched the wet paint. And he died on the cross to forgive every single one of those times where I've not lived God's way. He's really, really kind. The Bible tells us that he shows kindness like no other human being ever has done. He loves his Father in heaven. He always did what his Father told him to do. And he wants us to take protection under his wings. Let me tell you a little bit about that again. Think of that image. The little geese, the goslings, kind of taking defense behind their mother. As the Lord Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins, the punishment that we deserve from God was put on him. And as we come in faith to the Lord Jesus, as we say, Lord Jesus, I need you to forgive my sin, God's punishment falls on him, and we take protection under his wings, like one of them little geese. We can be forgiven today. And we can know the comfort of being close to the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus tells us this because he always speaks kind and true words to us. He wants us to know the danger that we're in by not taking protection under his wings. He wants us to trust him. You know, he welcomes outsiders. Whether we've heard this for the first time this morning or for the thousandth time, if you want to follow the Lord Jesus, he will welcome you. He said to a bunch of fishermen that nobody wanted to know, hey, come follow me. To a guy with a horrible skin disease, he said, I'll make you clean. To a man who couldn't walk, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now get up and walk. To a crowd of at least 5,000 people, he said, bring them fish and them loaves to me. And he fed them. To all sorts of people all over the world, the Lord Jesus says, come, welcome, come into my family. And we do that by asking him to forgive us. And does the Lord Jesus provide for us again and again and again? He promises in his word that if he's dealt with our biggest problem of sin, if he's risen from the dead to show that he's conquered death and sin and hell for us, then we can trust that he'll provide whatever else that we need. Do you know that when I'm lonely, the Lord Jesus promises that he's with me? When I don't think I have any money, the Lord Jesus says, trust me, I'll provide. When I don't know what to do, Jesus says I can ask him and he'll help me because he's really, really wise. Remember, Ruth went home and tasted the kindness of Boaz. She ate his bread. Every single day, I can taste the kindness of the Lord Jesus by coming to him and asking for what I need. And he promises that he'll give what I need. Not what I want, but what I need. And so every single day I can taste his kindness as well. So what are we to do? Keep coming to our Redeemer. Keep going to him. Because he keeps welcoming us. He keeps providing for us. He speaks kindly to us. He comforts us. He loves to give us protection. He loves to show his Father's love. He's so kind. He always brings the help that we need. Is Jesus your Redeemer this morning? And if we are believers in the Lord Jesus, if he is our Redeemer, are we still going to him and tasting his great kindness? Let's pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who's our Redeemer, who loves us, who cares for us. Who, like Boaz, wants to help us, even though we may not know him. Who loves to show his great kindness. Father, forgive us when we think that we can manage on our own, or that we don't need to trust a Redeemer, or that there's someone better than our amazing Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to remember today his goodness and kindness towards us. And would we say thank you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.